inshallah, now without any further ado, without being an obstacle between yourselves and our respected Shaykh Hafidhullah, I call upon my respected Shaykh and my respected Ustad, the spiritual reformer and the Hakim of this time, and the Mahbub of the Mashaykh, the beloved of the Mashaykh, our respected Shaykh, Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Muhammad Salim Durar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, to come forward and enlighten us with his words of wisdom.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته My respected mothers, sisters, daughters, and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced us once again by granting us the opportunity to participate in this 17th annual gathering for sisters organized by the Islamic Dawah Academy. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling those at the Islamic Dawah Academy and those who have been able to participate in these gatherings every year or sometimes during the last 17 years. Because nothing can happen without the help, the assistance, and the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether this is our first time at this conference, or we have been attending for the past many years, whether it is this program or program elsewhere where deen is imparted in its pristine purity, whenever we are given the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn deen, we should take it as a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Association with institutes, association with ulama, association with mashayikh, association with movements. Which teach and which propagate deen in its pristine purity, as it was taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, is a very great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind, with his tongue, and also practically by remaining associated to such ulama, such mashayikh, such institutes, such movements, and learn as much as possible, practice whatever one has learned, and also propagate and make those things which one has learned reach the four corners of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to differentiate between what is right, what is wrong, what is haq, what is batil, what is good, what is evil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter grant us the tawfiq to follow the path of good, follow the path of haq, follow the path of what is right, and safeguard us from that path which leads us to evil, which leads us to bad, which leads us to batil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the khair in this world and khair in the hereafter. Two verses were recited within the khutbah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful towards me. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Acquire the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr, patience, and salah. Inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who exercise sabr and patience. In these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned four items: dhikr, shukr, sabr, and salah. Dhikr, shukr, sabr, and salah. And all four are very important teachings of Islam. All four are fundamental teachings of Islam. If a person was to make either of the four items maqsood, objective, goal and target in his life, for example, a person makes dhikrullah his target or her target, that I want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Dhikr should be in my life from the time I wake up in the morning until I go to sleep. When I go to sleep at night, the last thing should be in Allah in my heart and mind. And when I wake up in the morning, the first thing should be Allah in my mind. So I end my day with the name of Allah, and I begin my day with the name of Allah. Allah in my heart and mind before I go to sleep, and Allah in my heart and mind when I wake up in the morning. Allah is on my tongue when I go to sleep at night, and Allah is on my tongue when I wake up in the morning. And in my practical life also, Allah is the last thing, and when I wake up in the morning, the first thing in my practical life is also Allah. So the heart and mind is thinking about Allah. The tongue is moist with the name of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah. And the body is also engaged in the obedience of Allah. So before I go to sleep, I think about Allah. I speak about Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And until I can fall off to sleep, Allah will remain on my tongue. So the heart and mind will think about Allah, that my Allah is watching me with lots of love. I am sleeping on my bed, head on the pillow. All the ni'mat that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me, and one of the greatest ni'mat is just about to bring upon me, the ni'mat of sleep. So I'm thinking about Allah, I'm thinking about my Creator. So before I go to sleep, I think about my Creator. Dhikr of Allah in the heart and the mind. Dhikr of Allah on the tongue. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And other ad'iyah, other masnoon prayers, which we all need to try and learn one by one, one prayer per week, one masnoon prayer per week, one masnoon prayer per month, and try to bring those prayers in our life so that our tongue remains engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these masnoon supplications taught to us by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One masnoon supplication which is taught to us by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as simple as Bismillahi wa barakatillah before eating, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya before sleeping, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubusi wal-khabais before entering the lavatory, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik before entering the masjid. One small dua. The barakat that it contains, just saying this once, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, the barakat that a person will acquire through reciting this one dua, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, once in his lifetime, at its appointed time, it will be more valuable than whatever the seven heavens and the seven earths contain. We are grateful to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are indebted to him for teaching us such valuable prayers. So before we go to sleep, heart and mind is thinking about Allah. When we wake up first thing in the morning, heart and mind is thinking about Allah. Before we go to sleep, last thing in our hearts and minds is Allah. And when we wake up in the morning, the first thought is about Allah. It could be directly about Allah, or it could be about Fajr Salah. It could be about Tahajjud. It could be about recitation of the Quran. Anything associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhikr of Allah. The last thing on our tongues should be dhikr of Allah. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Other maslun prayers. And thereafter continue engaged in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. And when we wake up in the morning, the first thing that emanates from our tongue is the name of Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Asbahna wa asbahal mulku lillahi rabbil alameen. And other masnoon prayers. And practically, in our practical lives, the last thing is remembrance of Allah. We perform our Isha Salat. Because performing Isha Salat is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala practically. And from the time we perform Isha Salat until we go to sleep, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in practice do not do anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not watch films. We do not go onto the internet and watch filthy things. This is remembering Allah in practice. So heart and mind is thinking about Allah. The tongue is remembering Allah. And in practice also we are only doing that which pleases Allah. So from head to toe, each and every limb of the body is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we wake up in the morning, the heart and mind is thinking about Allah. The tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we wake up and we perform tahajjud. We wake up and we perform Fajr Salah. At least Fajr Salah, if not tahajjud. So early in the morning also, our body is not neglectful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real dhikr. Real dhikr. One level of dhikr is that the tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the heart and mind is somewhere else. The tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in practice we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is looking at his Muslim brother, or a sister is looking at her Muslim sister, and whilst looking at his Muslim brother, at her Muslim sister, the one who is observing, one who is looking, is engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But when he or she looks at his brother or her sister, he or she experiences jealousy in the heart. So the tongue is engaged in the remembrance of Allah, but in practice this person is away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this person is engaged in something that he or she should not be engaged in. So sometimes the tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the heart and mind is thinking about something else, something permissible or something impermissible. The tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the salat. Subhanallah, 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 tasbih-e fatimi. After the salat. But heart and mind is wandering in the shopping center. Heart and mind is in the family, in children, in wife. Heart and mind is in the shop, in the surgery. So on the tongue is subhanallah, subhanallah. Heart and mind is elsewhere. And sometimes on the tongue is subhanallah, subhanallah. And it's worse, not only that the heart and mind is elsewhere, the body is engaged in something that is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we find many brothers who are engaged in lustful glance whilst walking in the streets, and at the same time they are saying Astaghfirullah. So a person looks at a lady who is not in hijab or niqab, and he says Astaghfirullah whilst deriving pleasure from that very glance, and he continues to derive pleasure from that glance. And nafs and shaitan are so cunning that he does not realize that he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not saying istighfar for his sin. He is saying astaghfirullah because this lady has come out of her house without hijab and niqab. So his gazes are fixed on this lady. Lustfully he is looking at this lady, deriving pleasure, displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over again he is saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And in his heart and mind, he is saying astaghfirullah because of this lady disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not putting on hijab or niqab. And he does not realize that he himself is engaged in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For such people, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, istighfaruna yahtaju ila istighfarin kathiratin. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that the quality of our istighfar is such that istighfar needs a lot of istighfar. Our istighfar is such that our istighfar needs a lot of istighfar. So one form of dhikr is the dhikr with the tongue. Then the higher form, only with the tongue, the heart and mind is elsewhere. The higher form is the dhikr of the heart and mind. Maybe the tongue is not engaged in dhikr, but his heart and mind is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the higher. And the third stage of dhikr is the tongue and the heart and mind both are engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the tongue is engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only one limb is engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the heart is engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heart is more superior to the tongue. So the virtue of the heart engaged in zikr is more than the tongue engaged in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, it's only one limb, one organ. And when the heart and the tongue both are engaged in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the third stage, because two limbs, two organs are engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest form of zikr is that the heart and mind is so alert and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person will only do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person will abstain from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the last thing that a person does is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue, with the heart and the mind, and also practically. He performs Isha Salat, after Isha, nothing that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a form of dhikr also. When he wakes up in the morning, the first thing is dhikr with the heart and mind, dhikr with the tongue, and he makes sure that he performs Salat, he wakes up for Salat. And then in between, if the day begins with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the day ends with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah it is hope from such a brother or such a sister that they will spend the whole day in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that these four items are fundamental in Islamic teachings. They are so fundamental that if a person was to concentrate only on one item, a person desires a very big mansion, a person desires a very nice car, a person desires a very comfortable life, a person desires gold, silver, pearls, this, that. So he will not concentrate on everything. First he has to concentrate on something which is fundamental, and that is wealth. So he will acquire wealth, and when he acquires wealth, everything becomes possible. So these four items fall within that category of the teachings of Islam, which if made the goal of life on an individual basis only, then the whole deen will fall in its place. A person makes zikrullah the objective only. He makes a firm resolution, or she makes a firm resolution, that I want to make my heart and mind zakir. Then inshallah the whole deen will come in this person's life. Another person makes shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the goal. That I want to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Shukr is my goal. Again the whole deen will come in this person's life. Another person makes sabr the goal of life. Again the whole deen will come in this person's life. Another person makes salat the goal of his or her life. Again the whole deen will come in this person's life. When a person is continually remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours, this person will never be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person tries his or her utmost to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shukr. And again, just like dhikr is of three categories, shukr is also of three categories. Shukr of the heart and mind. That a person feels that this ni'mat that I have been granted, it is only through the infinite grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without my deserving it. So I did not deserve to be a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his infinite grace, has granted me this ni'mat. I did not deserve to be here today in this gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this ni'mat to me through his infinite grace. I did not deserve such beautiful and clever and obedient children. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted them to me without my deserving. My life, my track record is such that I should have been punished by being granted disobedient children. Because I was always disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, Allah has been kind to me. So this is the shukr of the heart and mind, that I have been granted this particular ni'mat only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only through His grace, through His infinite mercy. I have not done anything to acquire this ni'mat. It is only Allah who has granted me this ni'mat without my deserving. This is the shukr of the heart and mind. And the shukr of the tongue is, we say the same thing, O Allah, You have granted me this ni'mat without my deserving, only through Your infinite mercy. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allahumma laka all praises to You, all shukr for You, O Allah. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukr kulluhu. And thereafter, the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, we utilize it in only those things which pleases Allah, and we safeguard that ni'mat from being used in those things which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person acquires shukr, again he has acquired the whole deen. Sabr. If a person concentrates on acquiring sabr, that I want to, the first person is trying to become zakir, the second person is trying to become shakir, and the third person is trying to become sabir. If a person becomes zakir, he would have acquired the whole deen. If a person becomes shakir, he would have acquired the whole deen. If a person becomes a sabir, again he would have acquired the whole deen. Because sabr also encompasses the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sabr is of three types. Sabr ala ta'at, sabr anil masiya, sabr anil musibah. One, sabr, exercise sabr, be patient, exercise sabr, be patient. The sabr, when used in our day-to-day conversations, it means sabr alal musibah, that when you are struck with a situation where you are pained, where you are grieved, when you are struck with a calamity, when you are struck with musibah, then at that time, despite all the grief, and despite your heart and mind wanting something else, you are happy and you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, despite all the pain that I'm going through and despite my wanting you to change my situation, for as long as you keep me in this situation, I am happy with your taqdeer. So naturally a person feels pain. He may shed tears. He may even cry. He may even go through sleepless nights. That is naturally. But intellectually he remains happy with the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He counsels himself or herself into thinking that I belong to Allah. So Allah can give me what He wants. Allah can take from me whatever He wants. I am the slave of Allah. Allah can treat me the way He wants. And Allah is not an oppressing master. He is my master. He is not oppressing master. He is very kind master. So whatever He is making me go through must be good for me. It must be some kind of kindness from Him. There must be some hidden mercy. There must be some hidden blessing in disguise. This is sabr al musibah. My father has passed away, it grieves me a lot. My mother has passed away, she was very dear to me. It grieves me a lot. My child has passed away at the age of 2, at the age of 1, at the age of 3. It was very beloved to me. But it pains me. The pain may remain for the rest of our lives. But that is natural pain. As far as the intellectual side is concerned, the aqla is concerned, the mind is concerned, the person believes that it was Allah's, Allah had given it to me, Allah has taken it from me, Allah has more wisdom than I can understand, and I am happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is sabr ala al-musibah. And for this sabr, so many virtues, Allahu Akbar. So many virtues. I appeal to each and every sister of mine who has come to the conference today. And after the conference, to each and every sister whose ear my words reach, benefit from this great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called sabr. Sabr. Sabr will comfort you in this world also. And sabr will bring spiritual progress for you, which in turn will change your situations after 1 year, after 5 years, after 10 years in this very world. And it is through this sabr you will acquire husn-e khatima. And it is through this sabr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you high status in Jannatul Firdaus. Calamities and difficulties befall those people who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْأُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Those people with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires goodness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them in this very world for whatever wrong they have done. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not desire khair and goodness for people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not send any calamity in this world, and they will be punished in the hereafter. But those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves very much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities, and after sending calamities upon them, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants them the tawfiq to carry out sabr. So Allah sends the calamity, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this person the tawfiq to do sabr. And as a result of this sabr, sins are forgiven. And thereafter this calamity continues, and as a result of sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of this person. And only in the hereafter this person will know, and those other people also who are watching this person, how beloved this person was in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that on the day of Qiyamah, when the people who were afflicted in this world will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that for every amal there is a measure. Ali radiyallahu anhu used to say, for every amal there is a measure. Measure, like in this world we have measures, 1 liter, 1 gallon, 1 pound, 1 kilo. So for every amal there is a measure in the hereafter. Big measures. So this person has performed Fajr Salah. How many times throughout his life? 5,000 times. So 5,000 times this measure, give him reward. This person has fasted in the month of Ramadan. Measure. This person has spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Measure. For everything there is measure. Ali radiallahu anhu says, accept sabr. Accepts. It is for this reason, the hadith which says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Fasting is for me only. And it is I who will directly reward that person. Because in fasting, there is a lot of sabr. There is a lot of sabr in fasting. So Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that for every amal there is a measure except the amal of sabr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wish to reward a person for his amal, he will be rewarded with measures. And the angels will be given this responsibility. That this person has come with so many thousands of subhanallah, so reward him. So many pounds spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so reward him. So according to the measure that is allocated for each amal, the angels will reward. Ali radiallahu anhu says, except for the amal of sabr, when a person will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be rewarded for the ajr of sabr, it will have no measure. The ajr will rain down upon him. The reward will rain down upon that person. Because there is no measure. Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Those people who practiced patience, who carried out sabr in this world, will be granted in full their ajr, their reward, without any hisab, without any counting, without any measure. Because there is no measure. Even the malaika will not be able to measure the reward. Allah directly will give. So I appeal to all my sisters that become shakira, sabira and zakira. If a lady or if a man, if a brother, sister become zakir, shakir and sabir, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him or her to the highest pinnacle of wilayah. Zakir, Shakir and Sabir. Zakira, Shakira and Sabira. And because this conference is for the ladies, I am specifically speaking to my sisters. But the same message applies to the brothers also. But I am specifically saying to my sisters that please become Zakira, Shakira and Sabira. And due to ill health, with a very sore throat, I did not expect that I will be able to speak in this manner. So I had nothing in my mind before I came here. And I thought that I will speak for 15-20 minutes and conclude today. But this message has been inspired right now here while speaking. That I say to my sisters that become Zakira, Shakira and Sabira. If you just hold on to this message of mine for the rest of your lives, you will succeed, inshallah, in this world and also in the hereafter. Not because it is my message, because it is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the message of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the message of our Sharia. Become Zakira. All 24 hours you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become Shakira. Whatever the condition, you always look at things positively. That, yes, I am deprived of this ni'mat, but alhamdulillah. I am deprived of this ni'mat, but alhamdulillah. Always look at what Allah has given you, not what Allah has not given you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent you or me for this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and me for the hereafter. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives us in the hereafter, that is where we should start complaining. That I wish I had this and I wish I had this. I wish I was in this Jannah and I wish I was in this Jannah. And before that time comes,
before that time comes that we are deprived in the hereafter, let us do as much as we can whilst we are in this world, so that we have no complaints in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, we will not be able to complain to anybody, we will have to complain to ourselves regarding ourselves. Shukr, shukr on everything. There is an incident regarding a very pious person. He was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He carried out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would do his utmost to stay away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day, it just occurred to him, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through ways known to him only. Allah educates us directly. And especially the more a person comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he educates them. So he was walking and suddenly this thought entered his heart. He was overcome by this thought that anybody who passes by me has a footwear and I don't have footwear. I am one who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I day and night toil and I try my utmost to carry out every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I try my utmost to stay away from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever condition he keeps me in, I always remain happy and I do sabr. I don't ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just a pair of slippers. I am walking barefooted. I am walking barefooted and anybody who passes by, Muslim, non-Muslim, and pious person, impious person, they all have footwear, slippers, shoes, some have expensive footwear, some have cheap footwear, but they all have footwear, and I have no footwear. I am barefooted. And this continued to bother him. It was not a question mark on the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that he felt deprived. Sometimes we feel this way also, that I wish I had a bigger house, I wish I had a better car, I wish I had something like he has. So he felt deprived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. So after this thought continually remaining in his heart and mind, Allah inspired him to go to the masjid. He was overcome with grief, so he said, let me go to the masjid. He was a pious person. He did not want this thought to continue, because he felt that maybe if this thought continues and if it progresses, it may bring doubts on taqdeer also. Or rather questioning the taqdeer, that why Allah is doing this with me when I am pious. So he went into the masjid, and when he entered the shoe area of the masjid, he saw a beggar sitting in the shoe area who did not have legs at all. So he immediately went into the masjid and he prostrated. And he started weeping out of happiness. And he said, oh Allah, you have not given me footwear, but alhamdulillah, you have granted me two legs and two feet. So let us always look at the bright side. Bright side. Shaitan misleads us and makes us look at all the negative aspects of our lives. And these are not negative aspects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, He is all wise. When He gives something to His servants, He knows why He is giving. And when He takes something away from His servants, He knows why He is taking away. Allah is very, very Hakim. It's like a small child. When that small child starts walking towards the radiator or the heater, we pull that child back. When that small child takes something which is very, very shiny, we take it from the child's hand. When that small child takes a lighter, we take it away from the child. The child doesn't understand. The child may be at that very moment feeling that my dad is oppressive, my father is oppressive, my mother is oppressive, my uncle is very, very strict, very hard, very harsh. But when that very child grows up, it realizes that my uncle was not harsh, my uncle was very, very affectionate to me. Similarly, when we will go in the hereafter, we will realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us a particular ni'mat that He had given to other people. Because spiritually or religiously, we may not be able to digest that ni'mat. We may become the victims of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of a particular ni'mat. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, does not give us ni'mats. So my sisters, always look at the positive aspects of life. Be optimistic always. Do not think negative. I always, when I explain to people who come with a negative attitude, who are always thinking negative, I say that look, when you are thirsty, or when you are hungry, and when you go into your kitchen, and you find only a half a glass of milk on the table, on the worktop, in the kitchen. I said a person with a positive outlook will feel happy, because he will look at the bottom half of the glass. And a person with a negative outlook will be grieved, because he will look at the top half of the glass. A person who has positive thinking will always look at the bottom half, and he will feel very happy that alhamdulillah, there is a half a glass of milk, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, it's there. And the other person will look at the other half, it's only half. Half is missing. So despite him consuming that other half, he will not find enjoyment in his life, he will not find comfort in his life. I also give another explanation, that look, whenever a person with a positive outlook look at a rose plant, then he will look at the rose and not the thorns. And a person with a negative outlook, his gaze will fall only on the thorns and not the flower. Let us learn in our lives to look at the positives in our lives. And if we begin to look at the positives in our lives, my friends, we will find that there are more than 90-95% positives in our life, and as far as the negative are concerned, they are only 5% or less than even 5%. And we will always find ourselves not patient, not sabir, we will find ourselves grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So become zakira, my sisters, become zakira. All the time you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become shakira, all the while you are looking at the ne'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 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 And you are being grateful to Him. And become sabira. Sabira. Sabra alal musibah. Anything you experience in your life which is against your will, think to yourself that there must always be some reason. There must be some reason, because it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think to yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me this opportunity. If I exercise sabr, I will acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I do not exercise sabr, if I become angry, and in anger if I say something which I was not supposed to say, if I become angry and physically I do something which I was not supposed to do, if I become angry and become impatient, then I will lose this opportunity. And afterwards I will have nothing but regrets. And if I am able to practice sabr, exercise sabr throughout my life, whenever I will have flashbacks of that incident, I will feel so happy that through that incident I came close to my Creator and I passed my test. So always exercise sabr during adversities, during difficulties, during moments of grief, during calamities. So this is sabr alal musibah. The other is sabr alat ta'ah. That sabr means remaining firm. So when a person exercises patience, that person remains firm. And that person controls his or her emotions. So second is sabr ala ta'ah, remaining firm on the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything Allah says, carry it out. Anything Allah says, carry it out. And control again all your emotions, all your feelings. You feel lazy at the time of Fajr and you don't want to wake up for Fajr Salat. Sabr ala ta'at, remain firm on the ta'at, on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wake up. When giving zakah, your heart says you will become poor. You are spending £1,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you? Sabr ala ta'at, remain firm. When you have to give your life, sabr ala ta'at, remain firm. When you have to give your wealth, sabr ala ta'at, remain firm. When you have to give any type of sacrifice, sabr ala ta'ah, remain firm. And third is sabr anil ma'asiyah, remaining firm in staying away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are faced with a situation where you are walking in the street and you come across a handsome man, or a brother is walking in the street and he comes across a beautiful lady, at that time to remain firm and control the gaze, that is sabr anil ma'asiyah. When you become angry and you want to swear at somebody, to remain firm and control yourself from swearing, that is sabr anil ma'asiyah. So when a person acquires sabr, then again he or she has acquired the whole of deen. So, if a person concentrates on zikr, then that person will have acquired the whole deen. If a person concentrates on shukr, that person would have acquired the whole of deen. If a person concentrates on zikr, that person would have acquired the whole deen. And if a person concentrates on salah only, salah, that I want to establish salah. So I want to perform 5 times salat regularly. And then I want to perform 5 times salat regularly with all its fara'id, with all its wajibat, with all its sunan, with all its mustahabbat. Then I want to perform salat with khushu of the body. And thereafter khushu of the heart. And then the person progresses. I also want to perform sunan, muakkada, sunan, ghair muakkada, mustahab salat, nafal. I want to perform ishraq. I want to perform salatul dhuha. I want to perform salatul awwabin. I want to perform salatul tahajjud. I also want to perform tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wudu. A person, and thereafter, whenever I get time, I will perform salat. Whenever I get time, I will perform salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salat prevents a person. If a person acquires the required standard in his salah, and thereafter he performs salah and he is regular in salah, then his salah will prevent him from obscene acts, shameless acts, and from everything that is prohibited by the Sharia. So when a person has salah in his life, he would have acquired the whole of deen. So shukr, dhikr, if a person concentrates on dhikr and becomes a dhakir, or a sister becomes a dhakira, she or he would have acquired the whole deen. Same with shukr, same with sabr, and same with salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned 4 items here, and all 4 items are from amongst those teachings of Islam which fall in the category of fundamental items. Fundamental meaning that if a person was to make any of them a goal in his life, and if a person was to master any of them, then the whole deen would come in a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذْكُرُونِي, remember me, I will remember you. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person remembers me in his heart, I also remember him in my heart. And if a person remembers me in front of an audience, I remember him in front of an audience which is more better than his audience. Because he will remember me in front of humans, and I will remember him in front of the malaika. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. A very pious person used to say that whenever Allah is remembering me, I know. So somebody said, whenever Allah is remembering you, you know. What do you mean by that? He says that whenever Allah grants me the tawfiq to remember him, I know Allah is remembering me, because Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. And here, when we say remember, when Allah says remember me, I will remember you, it does not mean that Allah forgets people. No. It means that you remember me and I will remember you with a special attention. Otherwise Allah remembers everybody at all times. He does not forget anybody. He does not forget a single particle in the creation, in the universe. When he says that you remember me, I will remember you, means when you make dhikr of me, then I will remember you with full attention, with love. My attention will be towards you. My mercy will descend upon you. I will remember you with mercy. I will remember you by enshrouding you with barakat, with khair, by elevating your spiritual status. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when asked by a sahabi radiyallahu anhu regarding a very very important advice, he said, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَتْبًا مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that your tongue should remain moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your tongue should remain moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, on your tongue should remain all the time the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On your tongue should remain at all times the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst lying down, whilst standing, whilst walking, in every condition, whilst sitting, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. Who are the people of intellect? Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst sitting. Yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman, while standing. Wa qu'udan, while sitting. Wa ala junubihim, whilst lying down. Those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in standing position, in sitting position, and in lying position, they are the people of intellect. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Ra'isul Mufassirin, commenting on this verse, have said that in this verse, the meaning of this verse is that those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of their lives. Because a person can have only three postures. Either he is standing, or either he is sitting down, or either he is lying down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of intellect are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sitting position, in the standing position, and in the lying down position. So those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all time, during all, every moment. And this was the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in say, kana yadhkuru Allah ta'ala fi kulli ahyanihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every moment of his life. So much so that regarding sleep, he said, inna aynayya tanamani wa la yanamu qalbi. When I go to sleep, my eyes and my body sleeps. My heart remains in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my sisters, become zakira. And in order to become zakira, begin with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the zikr of the tongue. On a daily basis, read at least 100 times third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And if you can add, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, alhamdulillah. On a daily basis, 100 times, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And if a sister is able to read the better formulae of dhikr, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilay, alhamdulillah. And at least 300 times, salat ala nabi. The shortest formula is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many other formulas, the best of which is the salat ala nabi taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. This is the basic 5 tasbihat, 100 times third kalima, 100 times istighfar, and 300 times salat ala nabi. And thereafter slowly, slowly increase. For example, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah alazim 100 times, kalimai tayyiba 100 times, la ilaha illallah muhammadur rasulullah, fourth kalima 100 times, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yamitu biyadihi alkhayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. According to your commitments and according to your timetable. And learn the masnoon supplications and recite masnoon supplications, dua, before going into the lavatory, when coming out of the lavatory, before eating, after eating, during eating, before sleeping, when waking up. Try to learn as many masnoon prayers as possible. The best book for the masnoon prayers is the book written by Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala, Radiant Prayers. In Urdu it is Purnoor Duae. Purnoor Duae, the translation of which is Radiant Prayers. And when you finish with Radiant Prayers, then go on to Hisn-e-Haseen. by Allama Jazari rahimahullahu ta'ala. Try to learn as many prayers and many supplications as possible which were taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the five tasbihat, with that try to learn as many Muslim prayers as possible and put them in, bring them in your lives. Number three, recitation of the Quran on a daily basis. Recitation of the Quran is also dhikr. Recitation of the Quran on a daily basis. Recitation of the Quran on a daily basis. The ulama, the muhakkikin have stated that the best form of dhikr is the tilawat of the Quran. Tilawat of the Quran is the best form of dhikr. Best form of dhikr. So recitation of the Quran on a daily basis. The huffaz should recite at least three juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be in salat. And the non-huffaz should recite at least one juz on a daily basis. And those who are weak in tilawa, begin with three quarters, begin with half, begin with quarter. And then slowly, slowly work your way towards completing one juz on a daily basis. And thereafter you may increase it to more. And whilst walking, whilst lying down, whilst working in the kitchen, whilst cleaning your house, whilst going to the shop, whilst coming back from the shop, try to keep your tongue moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you cooking without anything on your tongue. Or maybe you are cooking whilst listening to something which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the worst scenario. The second scenario is that you are cooking whilst doing nothing. And our third sister is cooking whilst remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst cooking, making chapatis, whilst cooking the gravy, she is reciting the third kalima, she is reciting the first kalima, she is reciting Salat ala Nabi. Imagine the barakat that will come into that food, and through the barakat in that food, imagine the barakat that will come in the whole family. And through these barakat, inshallah, the household will become pious. Taqwa will come into this household. Inshallah, ulama, huffaz, qurra, muhaddisin, mufassirin, du'at, ulama-i rabbaniyin will be born in such a home. Imagine what you are able to do, my sisters. So zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this zikr, you will feel very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through this zikr, the dead hearts are revived. Through the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person acquires comfort and peace. Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai, khuda ko yaad karne se. Na dunya se, through material things, na dunya se, na daulat se, a person cannot acquire peace of mind and tranquility of the heart through material things. Good furniture, good carpet, good decoration, a good home, good car, good clothes, good jewelry, expensive jewelry. No, that does not bring comfort. That does not bring tranquility of the heart and peace of mind. What is comfort? Tranquility of the heart and peace of mind is comfort. That is what is called comfort, that a person is tranquil. A person finds peace in his heart and mind. So tranquility of the heart, peace of mind does not come through material items. Na dunya se, na daulat se. It does not come through wealth, gold, silver. Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. Peace of mind, tranquility of the heart is not acquired through big mansions. Tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. The hearts acquire tranquility and the minds acquire peace through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The mufassirin have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say ala tatma'innul qulub bi dhikrillah. This is how the sentence is normally constructed. Ala tatma'innul qulub bi dhikrillah. That is how in Arabic normally the sentence would have been constructed. But whenever in Arabic you bring the last thing at the beginning, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, the translation changes. If it was tatma'innul qulubu bi dhikrillah, the hearts finds peace through the remembrance of Allah. Tatma'innul qulubu bi dhikrillah, the hearts find peace through the remembrance of Allah. But when you change the order and when you say bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, the translation changes and the meaning now is only through the remembrance of Allah do hearts find peace. So only through the remembrance of Allah will hearts find peace. So sometimes we find ourselves in anxiety, in depression, and we feel that I'm suffering like this because my husband is not giving me enough time. I'm suffering like this because I am in a rented accommodation. I'm suffering like this because my husband doesn't have a good car. I'm suffering like this because my husband doesn't take me for holidays. I'm suffering like this, because of that. No. Allah bidhikrillahi tatmainnul qulub. You are suffering like that because zikr of Allah is not in your heart. Zikr of Allah is not in your life. And the zikr of Allah, stage number one, zikr of the tongue. Stage number two, zikr of the heart and the mind. Stage number three, zikr of the tongue with the zikr of the heart and the mind. And stage number four, you are so alert and so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every step you take in your life, you never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is through this awareness, this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that hearts will find peace. Hearts will find peace. So this zikr we want. A young lady during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu was sleeping in the morning and the mother was saying, "Oh my daughter, wake up, wake up, wake up, umzukil laban faqad tala'a al-fajru. Wake up and mix water in the milk." She was a milk woman, she was selling milk. So she was telling her young daughter, who was 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, teenager, "Wake up, wake up, oh my daughter, wake up and do the mixing. Faqad tala'a al-fajru, the Subha Sadiq is about to begin, the dawn is about to break, and once the light is there, you will not be able to cheat people. So in the darkness, do it quickly." So the daughter, when she woke up from her sleep, see, when your heart and mind is zakir all the time, you can never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mother was fully awake, but because her heart and mind was not as zakir as the heart and mind of the daughter, she said, commit this sin, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the daughter's heart and mind was fully zakir, and she was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as soon as she woke up, even though she was in a sleep, she said, "Did not Amirul Mu'mineen say that we should not do this because this is cheating and cheating is impermissible in Islam?" Despite the daughter reminding the mother, because the mother did not have the zikr of that level, she continued and she said, "Oh, Amirul Mu'mineen must be sleeping in his home. He may be performing his salat." And Umar radiallahu anhu was standing outside the house listening to the whole conversation. He was, coincidentally, he was there. "Do what I am telling you to do." So the daughter said, "Oh my dear mother, in kana Umaru la yarani, fa ilahu Umara yarani. Umar is not watching me, but the Rabb of Umar is watching me." This is the zikr that we want. Fadkuruni yadhkurukum. And it is for this reason we associate ourselves to the mashayikh and we learn from them slowly, slowly how to make our hearts zakir. So begin with this preliminary and initial program of zikr. 5 tasbih daily, masnoon dua, masnoon prayers, and tilawat of the Quran. Engage in dua and learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that even when you are walking and you remember something, that, "Oh, my son is not feeling well," whilst walking, talk to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, grant him cure." Whenever you think of any problem whilst cooking, you talk to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, solve this problem for me. Oh Allah, do this for me. Oh Allah, do this for me." Learn to talk to Allah through prayers. Inshallah, slowly, slowly, you will progress in dhikr. And follow the guidelines of your Sheikh also in trying to reach that high pinnacle of zikr where your heart and mind is always alert. Washkuruli wala takfurun. And become shakira. Become shakira. Become shakira. Zakira and shakira. Always be grateful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uritun nar whilst performing salatul kusuf." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown the fire of Jahannam whilst performing Salatul Kusuf. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain were behind it. It was sun eclipse, and he was leading the Salat of sun eclipse. And he was shown the fire of Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that uritu nar faida akthar ahliha an-nisa. He said the majority of the inhabitants of Jahannam were ladies. Tasaddaqna ya ma'shar an-nisa. Oh ladies, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give sadaqa khairat. Spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because sadaqah, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helps a person from safeguarding oneself from the calamities in this world and also in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will find himself or herself on the day of Qiyamah standing in front of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be no translator in between. This person will have to speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will look at the right and he will see nothing but fire. He or she will look at the left, they will see nothing but fire. They will look at the back, they will see nothing but fire. They will look at the front, they will see nothing but fire. Fire, 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 fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how do you save yourself from this fire of Jahannam? Ittaqun nar. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. Walau bishikki tamratin. If you are not wealthy, then even by spending half a day in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give half a day to the poor people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh ladies, he spoke specifically to the oh ladies, tasaddaqna, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? فَإِنِّي أُرِيتُكُنَّ أَكْسَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Because the majority of the inhabitants of Jahannam were ladies. So the ladies asked, Bima ya Rasulullah. Bima ya Rasulullah. Because these were the ladies of the Khairul Qurun. One question could have been, Lema ya Rasulullah. They did not say Lema. They said Bima. And there is a big difference between Lema and Bima. Lema is why. And Bima is, what is the reason for our being in Jahannam in great numbers? Which amal is it that will take the women in Jahannam? So they did not say why. This question did not arise in their minds when they heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the majority of the inhabitants of Jahannam will be ladies and not men. They did not say why. Why is Allah unfair to the ladies? Like the ladies do in this day and age. That why this hukam for the men and this hukam for the ladies? Why this rule for men and this rule for the ladies? No, they didn't say why. They said, Bema, oh the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, women will land in the fire of Jahannam and you saw them in greater number than the men. What is the sabab? What is the reason? Which amal is it that will take them in the fire of Jahannam? So that we are able to safeguard ourselves from that amal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yakfurna. Because they engage in kufr. Majority of the ladies will be in the fire of Jahannam. In Jahannam, ladies will be more than the men. Yakfurna, because they engage in kufr. And kufr has two meanings. One is to disbelieve in Allah. And the other is to be ungrateful to somebody. So the lady said, Yakfurna billah? When you say that they engage in kufr, do you mean disbelief in Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, Yakfurna al-ashir. They are ungrateful to the husband. They are ungrateful to the husband. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a husband shows kindness to his wife for months and months and years, and after months and months and years of kindness, he makes a little mistake. Little mistake. He will say that I have lived with you for 25 years. Ma ra'aytu minka khayran qattu. I have never seen goodness from you. All I saw in this married life is shar, evil, difficulties. Only I know how much I had to endure, she will say to the husband. What have you given me till today? You haven't given me anything. Ma raitu minka khairan qattu, I have never seen goodness from you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the ladies become ungrateful very quickly. Allah has created the men and the ladies. There are certain weaknesses in men that are not found in ladies. And there are certain weaknesses in the ladies that are not found in men. And the responsibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to point out these weaknesses to the men and the ladies so that they are able to concentrate on these weaknesses and save themselves from the fire of Jahannam and go in Jannah and acquire Jannah. So it was the ihsan of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was very, very open. And here let me mention this to the ladies also, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in order to encourage the ladies, said that I have seen Jahannam and majority of the inhabitants of Jahannam were ladies. This was only to encourage them. It does not necessarily mean that the majority of the inhabitant of Jannah will be men. This is a sign, or this is a, we acquire knowledge from this hadith that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the last human, he will create more females than the male. So even in Jahannam, majority of the inhabitants will be ladies, and even in Jannah, majority of the inhabitants will be ladies. In both places, majority of the inhabitants will be ladies, because they will be more in number. But because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to just encourage the women to do good and to stay away from wrong, especially from being ungrateful, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned only one aspect, that I saw Jahannam and majority of the inhabitants were ladies. So be careful. Make sure you are not one of them. Make sure you are not one of them. And this also explains the hikmah and wisdom behind polygamy. Because the ladies will be more in number than the men. So the permission for a male to marry more than one woman was a mercy for the ladies and not the men. Because if a man could marry only one person, and from the signs of the Qiyamah is that the ladies will increase in number. So if a man was allowed to marry only one lady, then what will the other ladies do who are unable to find male husbands? So again, it is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ladies that a single man was given the responsibility to look after one lady, two ladies, three ladies, four ladies, so that the ladies would not remain single and without any security or support. So, ungratefulness becomes shakira. And number three becomes sabira. I am sure in this gathering of hundreds of ladies today, there are many mothers of mine, many sisters of mine, and many daughters of mine who must have been given the name Zakira, who must have been given the name Shakira, who must have been given the name Sabira. It is my desire and my appeal to each and every sister who is sitting here today, who is listening to my words at this very moment, throughout the country, throughout the world, who will listen to these words later on, each and every one of you become Sabira. Each and every one of you become Shakira. And each and every one of you become Zakira. And through the barakat of this gathering of our mothers, sisters and daughters, I appeal to all my brothers here also. And those brothers who are listening at home, in the country, outside the country, who will listen later on, make this the mission of your lives, that we want to become Zakir, we want to become Shakir, and we want to become Sabir. And whilst becoming Zakira, Shakira and Sabira, become also Musalliya, one who performs 5 times Salat regularly. Perform 5 times Salat regularly. As soon as the Azan is called, you must put everything on one side and perform wuzu, perform your Salat, perform Sunnah Muakkada, perform Sunnah Ghair Muakkada, perform Nawafil, the Azkar after Salat, raise your hands, make dua for yourself, for your husband, for your children, and for your relatives, for the whole Ummah. Become Musalliya also. Inshallah, if you are able to become Zakira, then Zakira, you will follow the whole deen. If you become Shakira, you will follow the whole deen. If you become Sabira, you will follow the whole deen. If you become Musalliya, you will be able to follow the whole deen. So if you become Musalliya, you will automatically become Shakira, Zakira and Sabira. If you become Sabira, you will automatically become Zakira, Shakira and Musalliya. And if you become Shakira, you will automatically become Zakira, Musalliya and Sabira. And if you become Zakira, you will automatically become Shakira, Musalliya and Sabira. So Shakira is also Sabira. Zakira is also Sabira. And Musalliya is also Sabira. And if you become Sabira, Inna Allah ma'as Sabirin. Then Allah is with those people who are Sabir. Allah is with that Muslim who is Sabir. And Allah is with that Muslima who is Sabira. And if Allah is with you and me, then everything is ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you are not mine, O Allah, then nothing is mine. Tu ek mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. And O Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. The heavens are mine, and the earth is mine. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. O Allah, if I cannot acquire you, I have not acquired anything. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. And if I am able to acquire you, I have acquired everything. So become Sabira. If you become Sabira, then Allah is with you. And if Allah is with you, everything is yours. Allah will change the hearts of everybody. Everybody will love you in this world. Everybody will honor you in this world. At the time of death, Allah will honor you. In the grave, Allah will honor you. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will honor you. And my sisters, final note. Don't make this world or the comforts of this world the objective in your life. Make the hereafter and the comfort of the hereafter the objective in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All sisters and brothers are requested to repent sincerely in the code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a firm resolution that inshallah from today our mission will be to become Zakir, Zakira, Shakir, Shakira, Sabir, Sabira, Musalli, Musalliya. And inshallah we will exert every effort to become pious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to acquire piety, we will do whatever we have to do and we will do whatever we are able to do. And from today, our lives will revolve around the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and around those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make a firm resolution, repent sincerely and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات اللهم اجعلنا من الشاكرين والشاكرات اللهم اجعلنا من الصابرين والصابرات اللهم اجعلنا من المسلين والمسليات اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا أواخرها وخير اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين او أرحم الراحمين او the most merciful one او the most forgiving forgive our sins forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our families forgive the sins of our brothers sisters relatives forgive the sins of our associates friends forgive the sins of our well wishers forgive the sins of the whole ummah O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our major sins. Forgive our minor sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us forgiveness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we repent to you and we make a firm resolution that from today we will do only that which pleases you and we will abstain from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are aware of our shortcomings. We are aware of our mistakes. We are aware of our ungratefulness towards you. Despite you being our creator, despite your giving us all the bounties and the ne'mats that we enjoy on a daily basis, we have been disobeying you and we have been obeying our and your eternal enemy, Shaitan. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we ask for forgiveness from you, grant us forgiveness. Grant us forgiveness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us forgiveness. Grant us steadfastness to remain on this Tawbah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us steadfastness to remain on the Sirat-i Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten our hearts with your marifat, with your recognition. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with good characters. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the noor of taqwa. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the noor of dhikr. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the noor of shukr. Enlighten our hearts with the noor of sabr. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts, enlighten our mind, enlighten our each and every limb of our bodies with the noor of salah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us alive, keep us steadfast on the Sirat-i Mustaqim. When you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, take us with Iman. Take us with Dhikr and Kalima. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, emanating from our lips. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us in the state that you are happy with us. Take us whilst we are in Haramain Sharifain. Take us whilst we are in Ruku, we are in Qiyam, we are in Sujood. Take us whilst we are obeying you. Take us whilst we are devoting ourselves to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us whilst we are doing and carrying out that amal which is most beloved to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, give us shade under your throne or under the shade of your mercy on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the reckoning easy for us. Grant us our book of reckoning in our right hands. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. Make pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. Grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us khair of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the evil and sharr of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those of us who are who have been afflicted by calamities, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant them afiyah and safety. O Arhamur Rahimin, those of us who are sick, grant them shifa. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us all shifa from physical illnesses, from spiritual illnesses. O Arhamur Rahimin, those of us who are far away from your deen, grant us hidayah and grant us steadfastness on this hidayah. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. O Ghafurur Rahim, O Ghafurur Rahim, O Ghafurur Rahim, forgive our sins. O Arhamur Rahimin, accept our participating in this gathering of ours today. Make this gathering a means of our forgiveness, means of our salvation in the hereafter. Make this gathering and make this program a means of turning a new page in our lives. Make this gathering a means of acquiring your wilayah and your friendship. Make this gathering a means of hidayah spreading throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimin, all those brothers, all those sisters who have participated in making this program successful, grant them goodnesses in this world and also in the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us opportunities to see many more auspicious gatherings at the Islamic Dawah Academy and elsewhere, and make them all a means of spreading hidayah throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimin, every good that your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge from, grant us refuge from it. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.